we've been talking about what we believe as a church, what we believe as a people, and this morning, what I'm going to talk to you guys about is the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Trinity a couple of weeks ago. I say a couple of weeks ago. It's been about a month and a half or so now. We've missed 2 weeks. But let me say this, man. If you guys still know some people that are in need, that need some stuff from the storm, please let us know so that we can try and help and be a part of that if we can. But anyway, as we were going through what we believe, we've talked about the Trinity. We've talked about the Word of God. There's a couple of different things we talked about this morning. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and break it down just a little bit more about who He is and what He is. One of the first things that we want to understand, like I spoke when I talked about the Trinity, is that the Holy Spirit is a He. It's a person. It's not a thing. I mean, as a kid, I remember reading in Genesis. You know, Genesis 1, when He creates the earth. And then it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I always pictured some kind of weird thing just kind of floating. Am I the only one? Like, be honest, be real. Okay, y'all made me feel bad. I'm the only one that felt that way. That's the way I looked at it. Yeah, that's the way that I saw the Holy Spirit was just like this ghost-looking thing that was like kind of creepily going over the water. Or because I'm a boy and a kid, I saw like Superman, you know, like flying really fast across the water and the waves going like that everywhere. You know, that was a couple of different ways that I saw the Holy Spirit, but I don't think that it's actually how it was in that day. But I also see in the Old Testament where in different places that the Holy Spirit came upon people and they did different things. Right? You got Samson. What happened? When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he got very strong and he did these crazy things. And so then I started thinking about it as it was like a source that you tap into every now and then. You know what I'm saying? And in the Old Testament, it may have been that way. Actually, it was that way because we're going to get into it where Jesus sent the Holy Spirit down. But we think of the Holy Spirit as being some weird cosmic being that floats around or that takes control of people or like, y'all like Star Wars? Right? Like the force that we tap into, like Luke, tap into the force. And we're all like, Holy Spirit, I'm tapping into you right now. You know, that's the kind of thing that we see. And a lot of people are like, hey, that was a Christian movie. And that was kind of the premise of it. But if you get to know George Lucas a little bit, he was more into Buddhism and inner channeling and that kind of a thing. And that's what that was all about. But it's one of those situations, one of the things that's how we see the Holy Spirit. We think that we can just tap into it through meditation or through this or through that. But you know, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we start looking at the Trinity like that and that sort of thing, it's kind of, I have a father, right? A father figure. So I get that part of it. I'm a father myself. I got my kids, you know? And then, so God the Father, that's kind of easier for me to understand. And then we go to God the Son, right? Well, I'm a son, so I get that part of it, you know, and I get the part of how a father would do anything for his children. I don't have a son. I got two girls, but same principle, you know. Moms, you're the same way. You're a mom. Your kids, it's the same kind of a thing there, and how we feel about our children, you know. And so it's easy for me to see God the Father, God the Son, but when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like, what do we look to? You know, what do we have in our lives that we're like, oh, that's what it is? There's really not a common thing that it goes to. In the Old Testament, the only way that God spoke to people was through prophets, right? Or through a burning bush, right? Those sort of things. And then Jesus came here on earth and he spoke to people face to face about the kingdom of God and what was going on. He walked for the 33 years. And he was the voice of God on earth at that time. You know, this is what God's saying. This is what's happening. And then after his ascension, he went into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to continue the work. So it's not in the Old Testament, it was they had to maybe be able to tap into him, or he came down and saw them maybe, or he used somebody else to talk to them. But when Jesus did what he did, this is what he said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to be with the Father. You will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world of this world is judged. That's John 16, 7 through 11. So Jesus said that when I go right now, you know, you were looking to other people to tell you things. Right now, you guys are looking to me, but here in just a minute, I'm going to go to be with the Father. And it's a good thing that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send to you the Spirit, the Comforter, the truth. I'm going to send something to help you walk through life. You know, we have an advantage that the people in the Old Testament didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit with us, in us, walking around with us, helping us, teaching us, showing us. So one of the first things that I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here, is a part of us, is around us to do several things. And the first one is to teach truth. To teach truth. How many of you, if somebody tells you something, you kind of can know whether it's a lie or not, right? Like some people just they don't lie well. Some people just have a discernment where they can say, hey man, you know that's not right. Nick and I were at the restaurant and the girl, and I talked to you guys about her before. The girl was serving us and she said something about, I was talking to these people about the church, and then all of a sudden they said something and just something didn't sound right. She's like, I don't know my Bible. I don't know it, but that wasn't right. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit teaching truth. Saying, hey, that's not it. That's not right. That's not what it should be. John 14, 26 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. Another translation says, bring to your remembrance those things. Have you ever been in a situation and something happened and you not know what to do, and then all of a sudden something came to you? A scripture, something out of the Word of God, or something that said, hey, this is what you need to do. Whether it was biblical, like scripture or not. I mean, Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something that's not scriptural, but I'm just talking about any situation, right? Something came up and you didn't know what to do, and you're like, God, I need something to do. And then what happened? It comes to you. Why? The Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance things that God has said, things that God has done. I'm trying to talk to somebody about God and about the Word, and they ask a question, and right now I'm just like, oh, I'm drawing a blank. And then what happens? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance, teaches me things. You get in the Word of God and you start reading stuff. That's why we say that the Word of God is alive, because as we read it, what happens? The Holy Spirit teaches us, shows us things. I can read a scripture today and I can read a scripture next week, and they can say two totally different things, right? According to my situation. This scripture can say one thing to me and say another thing to Nick. That's why it's important to do what the Bible says, with iron sharpens iron. God teach Nick something he won't teach me. God can teach me something that he hasn't taught Nick yet. And we can use each other, what? To grow, to learn. And then what happens? Nick teaches me something. I teach Nick something. What happens? We both go get in our Word and find out that it's true, right? Not that I don't believe Nick, but I find it for myself. That way, when somebody says something, I can say, no, this is what it is. How do you know that? Well, Nick told me. Nick told me the Word of God said that. No. Nick told me, and then I found it. It's right here. Check it out. Look and see in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He shows us things that we should know from His Word, from His thing. You know, have you ever felt guilty about something? Right? I did something, and here it is. What? There's guilt. That's conviction. Have you ever been ready to do something and be like, man, you shouldn't do that, right? What? Then we try to justify those things, right? Try and say, well, I did these things because of this, and that's why it's okay. And then the Holy Spirit's here saying, no, it's not. Mm-mm. We try and find people to get on our side. Like, have you ever seen somebody, like, they will go to one person? It's not you guys, of course. But they will go to one person, and they didn't really get the answer they wanted to see here. So then they went to this person, and let me go to this person. And they will go around till they found people that were on their side. And they were like, yeah, we're all in agreement. That's how it should be, right? It happens at my house with my kids. They go to mom. Mom doesn't give them the answer. They come to me, be like, wait, what'd your mom say? Right? I said, We try to justify. We try to go around and do those different things. But the Holy Spirit is there the whole time doing what? Teaching us. Saying, hey, this is not the way we should go. That's not what we should do. This is not how it is. Look in the Word. Where's it at in the Word? Hey, this is where it's at. Man, you know what? I remember this one time. This guy taught about this one thing. Where? Wonder what? Wait a minute. All right, there it is, right? To go back and find it. See, because everything that we face, everything that we do is in this Word. Principles for it. Principles of how we should live and what we should do. And the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and teaches us and is there to do that. The next thing, the Holy Spirit indwells believers, comes and lives inside. We ask Jesus into our heart, but really what we're doing is accepting the Spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. His Spirit comes and dwells inside of us and is there with us to do exactly what we had just talked about. Jesus said this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. John 14:16-17. He's always with us. Have you ever just felt compelled to call somebody at a certain time before? Have you ever been felt like, hey, I need to say something to this person, only for that person to turn around and just bare their soul because they're devastated? And you can talk to them and help them. The Holy Spirit lives in us and gives us direction and shows us ways that we should go and things that we can do. He's inside of us, giving us action, prompting us to do certain things, prompting us to good works, trying to keep us away from the things we shouldn't do. Man, maybe you shouldn't do that. I know the cartoon with a little devil and a little angel on our shoulder, but basically that's what the struggle that we have inside. And it's not a devil, it's our flesh. It's what we want to do. It's what the Scripture says in Romans over and over and over. But the Spirit is there saying, hey, this is where you need to go. And he's always with us. He doesn't leave. It's not like, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go do something I ain't supposed to do. Won't you stay here for a minute while I go do it? It's not how it works. He's always there inside of us. That's how God works. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We listen to him and he guides us. We don't listen to him and we mess things up. That's how it goes. Maybe not for you guys, but always for me. When I don't listen, things don't go right. Stuff goes wrong. He dwells in us. He's always there. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he empowers believers. John 14:12, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do greater things than these because I'm going to be with the Father. He's not just talking about the people that were walking with him. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about what we do because the Spirit lives inside of us, because the Spirit is empowering us to do certain things. You know, the disciples had seen Jesus heal tons of people, perform all these crazy miracles and do this different stuff left and right. He was performing miracles, standing in front of their master, and he was telling them, he said, hey, you saw all these things that I did, man, you're going to do more. You're going to do greater things than I do. And they were like, nah, man, I don't think so. I don't believe it. You know, I'm not really sure about that, Jesus. Are you sure about those things? I'm sure they had their doubts, but after Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came, what happened? Is there a time when Jesus preached and 3,000 people accepted the Father? It's not in there. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it's not in there. I'm sure if it would have happened, it would have been noteworthy. They would have said, hey, man, he talked to 3,000 people, just like they did with Peter. But Peter stood up and said, hey, man, you see this Jesus, this God that was here, he was the Son of God. He died for you. He's here, and he wants you to have a relationship with him. He loves you. Come to him. And the Spirit just drew all these people. Why? Because Peter stood up and said, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to, even though I think they might stone me, they could probably kill me because they were, you know, killing people that were following Jesus, right? I'm pretty sure he still stood up and did what he did. I'm pretty sure he could have been easily said, I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe I'll talk about him next week when things have cooled down a little bit, right? But that's not what happened. Peter stood up. It says, Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. What happened? They got up. They accepted. They received. You know, the disciples went around and they did miracles as well afterwards. People were healed. Things were happening. Why? Because they followed what the Spirit told them to do. He empowered them to do those things and they did it. See, this is the thing. God's waiting on us to be obedient. See, it's kind of cheesy, but there's something this guy said one time and it stuck with me. It says it's our job to do the ordinary so God can make it extraordinary, right? It's our job to step out and to start walking in that area. Let the Spirit empower us to go and do those things so that God can honor his word and do what he said he would do because we were faithful, right? How does it work? If my people call by my name, humble themselves and pray, then I'll heal their lands and do all these things. Right? If we stand up, if we do these things, if we start walking, if we allow the Spirit to empower us and us to step out and do the things God's called us to do. But the problem is we say no so many times that the voice of the Spirit gets so small in our lives and in our minds that we don't even pay attention to it after a while. Because he doesn't start screaming at us, right? Wish he would. It works when my wife does it. You know, I start listening. She screams at me. I'm like, oh, you're talking? Okay, yeah, I'll do it. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Another thing that he does is sanctify believers. 2 Corinthians 2:13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. The Spirit, that voice, going back to it, that says, hey, do this. Hey, you should do this. Hey, you should act this way. Hey, don't do that. Listening to that voice, why does he do that? Just so he can control our lives, I'm sure. No. So that we can fulfill the destiny God's created for us. So that we don't let ourselves get in the way of what God has planned for us. We blame the devil for a whole lot of things that he ain't have nothing to do with. It was us. It was us. How are we tempted when we're drawn out by our own desires? Our own lusts and desires. If we would start listening to the Holy Spirit, you know what? We will become more Christ-like than we've ever been in our lives. Why? Because that's where the Spirit is leading us. That's what he's leading us to do. Sanctify the believers. Another thing that the word says is that the Spirit intercedes for believers. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God, intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Romans 8:26-27. What does the Spirit do? It does everything it can to keep us where we should be. It does everything it can to enable us to do exactly what God has created us to do. It helps us be sanctified. when we listen, when we walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other." Remember the little angel and the little devil. Same principle right here. "To keep from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these things, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." See, some of these are really simple to stay away from, right? Some of these are really, you'd be like, "Well, I don't do any of those." But divisions, envy, dissensions, fits of anger. "I just got so upset, I just had to react." All those things are when our flesh takes over. But then it goes on and says that when we live by the Spirit, it says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there are no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Let's listen to it. I say it. Let's listen to Him. Listen to the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And when we do that, what happens to our lives? Suddenly, the problems and the issues, even though they're still coming, they're different. We have power to walk through them because we're not doing them by ourselves. The Spirit, why is He there? What does He do? God's our Father. He gives us discipline when we need it. He loves us. He cares about us. He sent His Son to die for us. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us as well. He died so that we could have healing, so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have relationship with our Father. And the Holy Spirit's there to show us what the Father wants us to do with our lives, who He wants us to be. Led by the Spirit. Bow your heads and close your eyes.